Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to Adventures in Security, episode 27 for May 28th, 2006. I'm your host, Tom Olzak. This is a weekly podcast published each Sunday evening, sometime before midnight. You can find the information covered in our episodes at blogs.ittoolbox.com/security/adventures. If you're interested in commenting on what you hear or about topics you'd like us to talk about, please send email to podcasts@adventuresinsecurity.com. This week's episode is part two of a three-part series on storage media sanitation. And I'd also like to remind you before we get started that the electronic copy of my book, Just Enough Security, is available at blish.com. And the paperback version, the final proof has been approved, and it should be appearing at amazon.com within the next 4 to 6 weeks. All right, so let's get started. In part one of this series, I examine the need for storage media sanitation processes in your organization. In this episode, I'll explore object reuse and retirement challenges for three media types. Before looking at specific storage media types, however, we need to understand the underlying challenges common to all media: file deletion and data remnants. Deleting files from storage media doesn't necessarily delete the data contained in the file. Instead, the file names or some other pointers to the files are marked as deleted. This tells the controlling operating system that it can reuse the areas associated with the deleted files. Until a deleted file's data is overwritten, it's still subject to retrieval by keyboard methods with off-the-shelf or OS-based utilities. A single overwrite of data is a good way to prevent keyboard retrieval of sensitive information, but lab retrieval defense requires more. This is due to data remnants. According to the NCSE, data remnants is the residual physical representation of data that has been in some way erased. In other words, data that has been removed or overwritten once or twice is potentially retrievable through the use of lab-based methods. Data remnants has various causes, which we'll examine as we look at three different media types: magnetic disk, optical disk, and memory, which includes USB and thumb drives, as well as random access memory, or RAM. A typical hard drive consists of multiple platters connected to a central spindle. Each platter surface is logically divided into tracks. Tracks are further divided into sectors. A read-write head floats above each platter. When a file is written, the drive selects sectors on one or more available tracks on one or more platters and writes the file data. The information about where the file was written is stored in a directory located on one of the platters. This is a pretty simplified explanation of how drives work, but it works for our purposes for this episode. For more detailed information, there are graphics and references in the blog entry for this episode. When a file is deleted, the information about how to locate the file is marked as deleted in the directory. However, the file data still resides in the tracks and sectors on the platters. When future files are written to the drive, one or more of the sectors occupied by the deleted file might be used, but until all the sectors are reused, any attacker can use common tools to retrieve part or all of the deleted information. Retrieval of deleted files in this way is a keyboard method. No special lab equipment is required. One way to eliminate the possibility of successful keyboard attacks is to overwrite the deleted file's disk sectors. However, this isn't a perfect solution. After a single overwrite, lab retrieval technology can read the data previously written to the disk. This is due to variations in the strength of the recorded bits, as well as stray magnetism at the edges of the tracks. The number of overwrites necessary depends on the sensitivity of the information you're trying to protect. According to Peter Gutmann, when all the factors are combined, it turns out that each track contains an image of everything ever written to it, but the contribution from each layer gets progressively smaller the further back it was made. Intelligence organizations have a lot of experience in recovering these palimpsestuous images. Advances in disk technology are making it harder to recover overwritten data, but it's still an issue for magnetic disks, containing highly sensitive information that are removed from the protection of a secure physical environment. One final note about overwriting data stored on magnetic disks. As a drive ages, sectors once used for data storage fail to meet working parameters as seen by the drive electronics. These sectors are marked as bad. During overwrite processes, these sectors are normally ignored, leaving the data stored there available for potential retrieval. We'll take a closer look at this in Part 3 of the series. I didn't cover tape in this episode, but the problems with tape are similar to those encountered with magnetic disk. I'll discuss tape disposal and reuse next week. So now let's move on to optical disks. All optical disk technologies, for example CD-ROM, write-once, and rewritable media, work in essentially the same way. A read laser detects light in dark areas on the disk surface. The light, or reflective areas, cause a low-intensity beam from the laser to reflect back into a read head. These pulsing reflections are translated into ones and zeros. The only effective way to dispose of non-rewritable optical media is destruction. Data on rewritable optical disks can be overwritten, but there isn't enough empirical evidence to support the premise that overwriting optical media is effective in preventing lab attacks. Like other types of optical disk media, destruction appears to be the best course of action when a CD holds highly sensitive information. And then finally, there's memory. We usually consider random access memory, or RAM, as an easy medium to erase. After all you have to do is remove power and everything stored immediately disappears, and erasing flash memory is as easy as deleting all data. What could be left behind? The answer is, it depends. According to Gutmann, semiconductor devices can remember. In other words, the characteristics of the substances that make up memory components create a tendency in those components to retain a trace of bits previously stored. The strength of this trace retention depends on the length of time the data was stored, and also the type of materials used to create them and the technology used to create the memory components. In RAM, sensitive pieces of data might be stored for long periods. For example, encryption variables are often stored in the same place in memory for as long as the system is powered on. This might cause a trace of the crypto information to remain after power is removed. Even if the memory is reused, data previously stored might be retrievable. The memory that makes up thumb drives has a similar problem. Simply erasing or attempting to overwrite data stored on your USB thumb drive might not be sufficient to protect highly sensitive information from lab retrieval systems. Next week, in the final installment in this series on storage media sanitation, I'll explore the various ways to mitigate the risks associated with data remnants challenges. Well, I hope I was able to help you make your network just a little bit more secure. Until next time, be careful what you click.